Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Wolf Sports Show. It was an entertaining week around the NFL. The Chiefs lost to the Bills, so no more undefeated teams. Kansas City's winning streak ends at 15 games. There's been a new celebration around the NFL and the sports world right now. Eagles took control of the NFC East to begin last week. Chargers won a thriller in primetime against the Bengals. So yeah, things are heating up heading into week 12. The Giants benched Daniel Jones. We'll get to that. And the Jets fired general manager Joe Douglas. Not a surprise, Woody Johnson, I think, had enough of the losing the past 6 years. There's been a lot coming out, putting the blame on Johnson, an Athletic article saying that Douglas didn't have a chance there. But I mean, he was there 6 years. Bottom line, they weren't getting it done. We're hearing all about this now, after the firing, kind of shady a bit with the way media works, agents, everything like that. So I don't know. They didn't have success there in the 6 years with Douglas, and Johnson couldn't reset things, and they need to find a quarterback. They're in New York, a long-term answer, and they didn't take a shot at one in this year's draft when they had a pretty high pick. Olu Fashanu, their left tackle of the future, I think he should pan out, but they had a shot at a quarterback like Bo Nix, didn't take it. They had Rodgers sort of going all in. And yeah, overall, if you don't find a franchise quarterback, you're in trouble. Actually, for this week, we're going to run through the power rankings. You can find the written form on wolfsports.com, but we'll definitely go through the matchups next week. So good time to hit on power rankings again, see where every team stands. At number one, the Lions. I've been sort of hesitant to put them at number one over the Chiefs, giving Kansas City respect, back-to-back champs, the 15-game winning streak that came to an end, but definitely time to put Detroit at number one. They're just a force. They have top-tier talent brought in by general manager Brad Holmes, and that's paired with an elite mindset, physical mindset, aggressive mindset that makes them a juggernaut and tough to beat right now. Number two, the Bills at 9-2. I think fair to put them over the Chiefs. The win at Buffalo, pulled away at the end on the touchdown run from Josh Allen, clutch on 4th-and-2 or whatever it was. He's finally getting MVP love, which is good to hear. He might have a shot to win it finally. And remember how long it took the big media, mainstream media, to give him any credit because they all discredited him in the pre-draft process. But now for a few years, you can't deny how good he is. They didn't have Dalton Kincaid, tight end, and rookie receiver Keon Coleman in the win. Amari Cooper had a couple of big catches, still getting acclimated to the offense. Matt Milano at linebacker was not available. Hopefully he'd be there for a potential playoff rematch for the Bills, and a big win for them. Number three, the Chiefs, with an eye towards that potential rematch that Josh Allen mentioned is likely in January. Kansas City should be healthier too. Isaiah Pacheco at running back and defensive end Charles Omenihu. Both could return potentially this week against the Panthers. I think they're missing the mindset, attitude that Pacheco brings. Some big playability at running back, a little more than what they have right now. And I saw a Chiefs fan on X saying that they think Andy Reid was holding things back with the potential playoff rematch in mind. I don't know about that, but you would think Kansas City will play better in a rematch. And I say I don't know about Reid holding anything back because they were going for an unbeaten season. They weren't. They'll be thrilled to win a Super Bowl in the end, obviously, and three-peat, that's the ultimate goal. But starting 9-0, they were going for it. I don't think Reid was holding things back, just thinking they'd play the Bills again. Next up, the Eagles at 8-2. Saquon Barkley went off again in primetime in the fourth quarter of the Thursday night win over the Commanders. Have now won 6 straight off the bye, control the division. And I know Giants fans are just sick about seeing Saquon perform like this in Philly. Rounding out the top five, the Steelers at 8-2. They've been here at least the previous week. I think the past few weeks they might have been at number 5 for me. So, and others are kind of realizing they're legit. They're not just a very good team. They're Super Bowl contenders with Russell Wilson at quarterback, a move that many people hammered, with Justin Fields starting 4-2 at quarterback. But the upside's been unlocked. Not like he played outstanding last week. He had the interception in the end zone. But there's major upside there with the Steelers. Next up, the Chargers. They make a move. They were at 10 last week, now up to number 6. I was a bit concerned about the defense, how they took advantage of good matchups, what you expect them to do. but didn't play a team like the Bengals. Ultimately, the Bengals did climb back from a 27-6 deficit. Bengals scored 21 straight points to tie the game in the eventual win by LA. But that first half, the 6 points allowed, encouraging sign against that offense. Again, didn't hold them down the whole game, but Jim Harbaugh immediately has shifted that culture. Now a tough defense, Justin Herbert throwing lasers all over the field. Definite possibility of a deep playoff run for them. Next up, the Ravens at 7-4. Lamar Jackson now 1-4 in his career against the Steelers. So they sort of have his number. 2 games back in the loss column to Pittsburgh now. An encouraging sign, the defense played better. It was a gritty battle as usual in that rivalry. But Roquan Smith dealing with a hamstring injury, got to keep an eye on that. And I'll mention Tre'Davious White, former All-Pro cornerback, was in at spots last week. Made some nice plays, including a deflection in the end zone on a deep shot to George Pickens. Number 8, the Vikings at 8-2. Basically, all they gave up last week was a 98-yard touchdown. I mean, that's not great, but other than that, were shut down against the Titans, stopped Tony Pollard on the ground. Offense avoided turnovers. Obviously in a great spot at 8-2. Ahead of a trip to Chicago this week. Number 9, the Packers. 2 straight weeks with a walk-off field goal block around the NFL. First the Chiefs and now the Packers. Against the Bears, they pulled it off last week. So getting to 7-3 creates some breathing room there in a tight NFC. Now they host the Niners. That would be huge to put 3 games of separation there between them and a team like that. Number 10, the Texans, 7-4. Joe Mixon, I think I've talked about him every week since week one, maybe. Just he's the driving force right now for that team. 3 touchdowns at Dallas. Defense was flying around. But as I said last week, the upside probably tied to CJ Stroud. He's remained off a little bit. Even with Nico Collins back last week. We'll see if he can get on point, catch fire at some point, especially as the postseason approaches. Number 11, the Cardinals coming off the bye. They play the Seahawks twice in 3 weeks. So a critical stretch here coming up for them. And they lost 5 straight in the series to Seattle, looking to end that this Sunday. Number 12, the Broncos. Bo Nix, first rookie in NFL history with 300 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 80% completion percentage. If you follow along, you know how high we were on him coming into the draft. Falcons head coach Raheem Morris with immense praise saying the quarterback played extremely well. I would have been extremely proud of him if that was my quarterback the way he played yesterday. He played flawless football. To have an opposing coach say that about you speaks volumes. And we'll see what happens. But the skill level, way better than the critics and the media said. And I think you can safely ignore anyone that was saying he's a low ceiling, doesn't have the arm. He made one of the best throws of the year last week on a total rope over the middle. And yeah, I don't think Denver's going anywhere this year. Have a good shot at the playoffs and into the future. Next, the Niners at 5-5. I think to some extent, they've had so many deep playoff runs over the years. A Super Bowl loss again last year. They might be drained a little bit. Didn't have Nick Bosa dealing with a hip oblique issue at the end of the game-winning drive by the Seahawks last week. The defense gave up another lead. Just not looking like the powerhouse that they've been. Remember, they went on a run last year. I said, starting last week, it might be a spot where they can go another run. Didn't work out with a loss to this point. This Sunday against the Packers could be one of those turning point type of games where if they don't get a win, drop to 5-6, that's could be rough. But if they can win, maybe it'll build some momentum and spark them moving forward. Next, the Commanders at 7-4. If not for that Hail Mary they got against the Bears, they'd be 1-3 their past 4 games. Maybe running out of gas a little bit from the scorching start to the year. That said, they're playing hard every week under Dan Quinn. Will be exciting to see Jaden Daniels in his first game against the Cowboys. The Rams at 5-5 beat the Patriots last week in Foxborough. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua both have big games. And rookie safety Cameron Kitchens, I've mentioned him before, had another interception and is the NFC Defensive Player of the Week in 2 of the past 3 weeks. And he's the first rookie to do that, win it twice, since Brian Cushing in 2009. The Seahawks, 5-5, again came back to beat the Niners. Geno Smith was clutch. 80-yard game-winning drive, ran it in for the go-ahead touchdown. They were the sluggish team for several weeks since the 3-0 start, and that might be a win that could jumpstart them a little bit. We'll see. As stated, to face the Cardinals twice in the next 3 weeks. The Falcons dropped to 6-5. They're on their bye now. For as good as Nick's played, the Falcons did not play a good game on either side of the ball. I think the bye comes at a good time for them. Get healthy, recharge, and see if they can secure the NFC South. The Dolphins now up to 4-6 after beating the Raiders. They now host New England, favorites, and I mentioned the 3-week stretch they have here to potentially get to 5-6. Past the first two stages of that will be great for them if they can get to 5-6 right there in the AFC wildcard mix ahead of a matchup with the Packers on Thanksgiving night. Buccaneers return from the bye week, should get Mike Evans and Jamel Dean back. They're at 4-6. They can get to a game behind the Falcons. Virtually two games because of the tiebreaker that Atlanta has, but can get close in the NFC South that they could beat the Giants this week. Bengals at number 20, now at 4-7. Probably need to run the table. They have the bye. Maybe they'll come back and go on a run. I think a little too much finger pointing there, too much frustration. They're losing, as well as guys on the offense are playing. Again, they were behind, only had 6 first half points last week, and they need to sort of come together if they're going to want to have a shot at running the table. Next, the Colts at 5-6. Anthony Richardson's return to the lineup went great. Beat the Jets, did damage as a passer and a runner. Game-winning touchdown as a runner with under a minute remaining. Very difficult test against the Lions this week. They need to get Jonathan Taylor going, but against that front might be difficult. So a lot on Richardson. Against this man coverage, we'll see how much he can take off and run. The Saints, 4-7 now. Up a few spots in the power rankings. Taysom Hill, epic performance. First player in NFL history with 100 rushing yards, 50 receiving yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, and 10 passing yards in a game. The winner of the Browns, he was breaking tackles, doing damage as a receiver. Definitely a fun player to watch. And we've seen it over the past handful of years, it seems, that whenever he's on the field and getting heavy usage, good things happen for them as an offense, as a team. And I expect that to continue with him staying involved down the stretch. But they're on their bye this week. Bears at 4-6. Heartbreaking loss again. That's twice now they've had what easily could have been a game-winning drive from Caleb Williams. Could be at 6-4, as ugly as things have been at times. Overall, it was good to see Williams more decisive in his play in the first game with Thomas Brown calling the plays. Tough test this week, though, facing Brian Flores' defense. We'll see how the number one pick handles that. The Cowboys at 3-7. Essentially, they've been in a funk since the playoffs last year. The loss of the Packers, blowout loss. Then losing Dak Prescott hasn't helped. They got Micah Parsons back. His second game back last week. Him and Javon Diggs couldn't make the total game-changing plays that they probably needed. In other words, take over a game, which they can do. Maybe they'll do it this week against Washington. And Deron Bland at corner might be back. That would be a major boost to have Diggs with Bland on the other side. It would make for a bigger challenge for Daniels in Washington. Next up, the Patriots at 3-8. Lost to the Rams, but they jump up 6 spots in the power rankings this week. Offense looking a lot better than I thought they would. Was surprised to hear that they're apparently bringing in outside help for developing rookie quarterback Drake May, although Jerod Mayo denied that report. And I don't know, from the outside, it looks like offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt's done a nice job of utilizing what he has there roster-wise. Next up, the Jets. Talked about them at the top with firing Joe Douglas. Just haven't felt like a well-constructed team over the past couple of years. I like some of the individual talent they brought in this offseason. I didn't like their offseason 2 years ago at all, aside from the upside of Rodgers. But yeah, the media putting it on Woody Johnson. I don't know if that's fair, but we'll see what direction they go. And again, they need a quarterback long-term. Next, the Panthers, 3-7, coming off their bye. We'll see second-round rookie running back Jonathan Brooks make his NFL debut out of Texas. Had a torn ACL last year in college. Forms an interesting duo with Chuba Hubbard there in Carolina. But a tough first defense to go up against facing the Chiefs coming off their loss. The Raiders, now 2-8, have lost 6 straight games since the 2-2 start. A bright spot for them. Rookie tight end Brock Bowers continues to look like a star. Rookie tight end record 13 catches last week in the loss to the Dolphins. Now they face the Broncos, who started this losing streak in Vegas. They really need to win there. The Browns, 2-8. Big plays between Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy. Winston threw for a ton of yards. It was surprising they only had 14 points. It felt like they should add more. Just couldn't keep up with the game Taysom Hill and the Saints had on the other side. Now it's the Steelers on Thursday Night Football. Looks like rainy, potentially snowy even, weather in Cleveland. might have to win an ugly game and could be a fun one to watch. At 30, Jaguars 2-9 now on their bye. Blown out by the Lions last week. Detroit, I should have mentioned for them just how good that performance was. Scored on every possession with the starters. There was talk that the Jags were set to fire either Doug Peterson or Trent Baalke or both. Haven't done it yet. Seats are very hot there. And I think the bigger issue is Baalke not giving a winning roster to Peterson, but we'll see what happens. 31, Titans 2-8. Again, the 90-yard touchdown from Will Levis to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was the highlight play. Didn't get enough consistency from the offense against the Vikings. We need to see Will Levis take fewer sacks this week against Houston to have a shot. Puts your offense in such a bad spot. And they've taken 12 sacks in the past two games. And then finally, the Giants, 2-8, benched Daniel Jones, as mentioned at the top. I think people are being a little hard on him. He's not nearly as bad as everyone's saying. He had multiple major injuries. He had 379 total yards in a playoff win, just somewhat recently. It's not like the Giants have ever been a good situation. Basically, don't be shocked if he does get a starting job elsewhere. He's just 27 years old. He has respect to the locker room. The players did not take his benching well at all. They feel he's the best quarterback for the team. They see how hard he plays. They're not happy with how it was handled. They know as a roster, they see they lose Saquon Barkley, as good as Tyrone Tracy has been as a rookie. They lose a player like Saquon. Basically, I mean, we saw in Hard Knocks, it was a money thing. They didn't think you should pay running backs. And then we see Saquon, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry do what they're doing. Not a great look for the front office. And I guess this regime, seeing if they can save their jobs. I would think the GM, Joe Shane, is done. And maybe Daboll just seeing if he'll stick around. Maybe he really feels Tommy DeVito gives them the best shot to win. While Jones isn't nearly as bad as people say, he hasn't played well for the most part this year. He's had stretches of his former play. He's played at a high level in the past, but just not consistent this year. And again, coming off the torn ACL. Certainly not all on him, though. So it should be a fun week 12. Begins with TNF, Steelers, Browns. Could be bad weather, typical AFC North battle. And then it ends Monday night, the Harbaugh Bowl, the Chargers and Ravens, Jim and John Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson, he shows up on Monday nights. Chargers, a new culture there. Primetime games aren't an issue for them, I don't think, anymore. Enjoy all these games. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week on Thanksgiving.